If you will, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We're going to be reading from verse 16 down through verse 23. Y'all pray for me this morning. And just need to pray for one another. But it says right here in verse 16 of Luke chapter 12. And it's speaking about the parable of the rich fool. But you know, I know what they're talking about, the parables. They're talking about something that is there that where we can be able to relate to today. Well, I don't believe it is that way. I believe the parable's got to mean something else besides what all the commentators and all the Bible dictionaries said about a parable. But because it's, you know, you can even go into the Old Testament and you can read scripture in the Old Testament where God had wrote it, and where the Son of God hadn't been mentioned around it, and it's relating to today. Even the book of Proverbs is for our daily living, and we need to read the book of Proverbs at least once a week or once a month or some, but we need to keep some of the proverbs there that we have. But here this morning, I want to try to bring a message on what God called. Why did God call the rich man a fool? And we can see right here where he did, but I don't think really he's really calling the rich man, the individual man, a fool. But it says right here, it says in verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruit? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body. What shall ye put on? The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the precious word this morning. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us, Father, to be able to stand this morning before people. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll take your words and, Father, you'll bring back remembrance to me this morning, Father, what you spoke to my heart. And Father, we just want to thank you and we want to love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, right here, we have said down here where in verse 20 it says, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this day thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" But God said unto him, "Thy fool, this night." Have you ever felt like that you was millions of miles away from God? I have felt that way. I felt that I was so far away from God that God wouldn't, my prayers did not even go just this far. But even though me within that realm, I felt so inadequate. I felt so to the point that I didn't know which way to go. I didn't know what to do. Because I felt like that my prayers was not going and touching the throne room of God. That was me, an individual thinking that. But as a living soul, I knew that that was not the case. I knew that that was not the case because of what I was thinking. It was because of what I had run into that day, or I spoke to someone about, and they said something to me that was off of the cuff. And it got me to thinking about some things and some things in my own life. That's where the mind comes in. But yet then, when we get alone with God and when we go to God and when we pray, if we don't really watch it, we'll pray with the mind. We'll pray with our mind in mind. Then wow. We can't even get in touch with God. But we know we must always remember that we have to go to God in prayer with our heart. And I don't believe that the Lord Jesus called this man a fool. I really don't. But we'll see right here that some things that this man was grateful for. And we have people today. Bye-bye. Bye. We have people today that they don't feel grateful for anything. You know, we at times we'll get along with our own self and we don't even feel grateful to God. Because we don't tell God we love Him. How many times have we really sat down and we really thought about it? Have I really told, say, God, I love You? And say, God, I don't need nothing today. I just want to let You know that I love You. And I care for You. But we'll see right here in what we've just read that where this rich man here, he'd built up some barns. It doesn't say how many, but I believe it was more than one. I believe it was more than one. Because when he said to him, said that where, and he said in verse 18, and he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns. More than one, because it has an S on the end of it. The letters in the alphabet, each and every one of them means something significant in each and every word that we pronounce and each and every word that we say. So he had many barns, but he got to the point that all his barns was full. But see, he didn't thank the Lord. He didn't ask, he didn't tell the Lord how much He loved him and how much God had blessed him. He didn't see none of that. So he started pulling down his barns and he started going about and building greater barns. He would tear down one barn and he would take that one barn and he would take it and he would build it. And he would build a greater barn out of that barn. He would, where it was just maybe, say, 20 by 40, and he would take it. And then he would take that barn as he pulled it down and he would take it and it would be 40 by 80. He would double it. He would double it. Why? I believe he doubled it because he knew that God was speaking to him. But he didn't realize who he was. He didn't realize who God was. That's just like so many people today. They don't realize who God is. They don't realize how big God is. They don't realize what God is saying to the heart and to the soul. But God did not call this man a fool. He just didn't call him a fool because he was a farmer. He didn't call him a fool because he was a rich man. He didn't call him a fool because he was a hard worker. He didn't call him a fool. Why? Because he took care of what he had. That wasn't the reason that God even called him a fool, because God was not calling the individual man a fool. Even though the way we read it, it says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. The reason I believe that God was speaking to this individual and he was saying to him, this man is a fool. Why? Because that he did not know God. That's the only reason. It wasn't because, like I said, he was a hard worker, because he was a farmer. because he took care of what he had. That's the reason he went out and wanted to build greater barns. Why? Because he had more coming in than what the barns could hold. So he didn't want to leave it outside. And he knew if he left it outside in the weather, that it was just going to sit there and was going to rot because of the heat, because of maybe the rain. We don't know. But here we see where this individual, he was self-centered. He was a self-centered individual. He only thought of himself. He didn't think of nobody else. He didn't think about the other farmers in the area. He didn't think about what God had blessed him with. He's thinking about himself. How many people do we know that way? That just think of themselves and nobody else. Say, Lord, if you can bless me today if you can. We'll even have people come into church and they'll come to church and they'll come maybe a while and then they'll get out of church and they won't come for a while and then they'll come back and when they come back to church, they come into the church and they'll go back and they'll sit in the old same old pew they used to sit in. And you can see the expression on their face. Maybe you don't, but I can see some of the expressions on some of our faces that they're so self-centered that they say, God, here I am. Here I am, God. Now you bless me. You bless me because I showed up. You bless me because I made my presence known. No, we should not ever do that. We should always come in to the house of God with a thankful heart. And with a giving spirit. With a thankful heart and a giving spirit. And if we do, there's nothing that we as an individual that cannot do. In the verses of scripture where I've just read, from verse 16 down through 23, the letter I is mentioned here 6 times. In verse 17, it says, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. In verse 18, and he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Verse 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. In verse 22, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The letter I was mentioned 6 times here. So each and every letter that's in the alphabet has a meaning and has something specific behind each letter. Just like in the grace of God, it's God's amazing grace that we're here this morning, right? It's only by God's amazing grace that we're saved, that we are saved on the way to heaven. But you have grace. You have 5 letters there that represents the grace of God. And each and every one of them letters has a meaning behind them. The first one is G. What does that mean? First thing to come to my mind is God. Why? Because God provided for His Son to leave heaven, to come down to this old sinful world that where me, myself, I could just bow down to Him and ask for forgiveness and repent of my sin and say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm on the way to hell. I've tried everything, but I could not find it. I've been to church. I've went to this church. I've went to that church. But God, I haven't found it. God. And then the letter R can mean so many different things. It can mean where we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Received. But I look at the letter R there, that redemption is where He shed every drop of blood at Calvary. Redemption. And with His redemption, all we had to do was just come and believe, trust Him, and receive it. But we had to receive it. We couldn't just say, well, I know He saved me. Because it says in the Bible that all shall come unto Him. Whosoever shall come unto Him. That all people is going to be saved. See, He's not that way. See, He give us a choice. He give us a free will. He give us a choice. He give me a choice to accept Him or reject Him. And how did He do that? With the free will that He's given me. The choice. The way I could accept Him or reject Him. To serve Him. Or not serve Him. To call Him Lord. Or not. Or say, I love You this morning, Lord. I don't need nothing else. You've given me what health that I have. You've given me the ability to be able to see. Even there, even though that I cannot see 20/20, but You've given somebody else the ability to come about and make eyeglasses to where I can go and I can see 20/20 with the eyeglasses on. Lord, You've given me the ability where I can speak. You've given me the ability to where I can be able to walk. And Lord, You didn't have to do that. You didn't have to do that. You could have put me up in a bed when I had my stroke. Mini stroke. You could have
laid me right there on the bed and said, Donnie, says you will look up to me. That's the reason I believe a whole lot of people, his health is in the shape that they're in, that they're not giving God the respect that he deserves. And he does deserve respect. Not only that does God deserve respect, but I believe each and every one of God's children needs respect. I believe God respects the individual Christian. Why? Because they come and accepted him. Accepted him and what he done and what he allowed his son to leave heaven for and to give up his son, which brought about redemption. Then we have the next letter is A. Well, we can use that word as authority. We know that God has the all authority. He's the one that wrote the book. He's the one that he's the authority behind the writing of this book. And he's the author of this book. When we get in and read it. How many books do you know of? The way you know, yes, you have in the very first page or the first copy of the book, they might have it pinned down now who the author is of the book. And they wrote down the book. But let me ask you something. Have you ever read any of them books? And you felt like that it was speaking to you? That the author was right there with you. This is the only book that I know of It's the only book that I know of where I can get in and read. And I know the author that wrote the book. I know the author that's behind each and every scripture. But not only that. But he's present when I read it. Because he speaks to me. Through the Holy Spirit. He teaches me what it says. I've even looked at some of these other translations. Yes, I've got a few of the others at the house. And I've read them. But it hasn't spoke to me. I don't hear nothing else out of it. I don't know who's behind it or nothing. I know God's not there because he hasn't spoke to me. But I believe this. If you know the author, and if the author is your Lord and your Savior, when you get in there and when you read this book, you can read it. You may not understand it today. And I may not understand what I read this evening. But when I need it, and when you need it, he'll bring those scriptures back to you and say, son, don't you remember when you was reading it and You just couldn't get in there and get the nugget out, or you couldn't grasp what it was saying. You can grasp it now because you're going through it. You're going through the time and the situation that this is for you. And I thank God for that. I really do. I thank God for that. Why?
Because I'm not so self-centered. I'm always thinking about myself.
I say this a whole lot of times, and I really do. I believe it. I remember it, and it always comes back to me. Until I got saved, it was all about me. All about me. Because come Friday afternoon, after I got off of work, I just wanted to go out here and party. I wanted to go out here and on the town a little bit. It was about me. About me and my feelings. But then after I got saved, after I truly got saved, born again, how? Out of His, at His expense, at His, the Lord Jesus Christ's expense, because what did He do for me? He hung on the Calvary's cross for me. He died for me. Now some people may say, well, some people may come, would have come in this morning, maybe would have come here, and I don't think y'all are, but, and I hope you're not. If it has ever come, say, we don't need this message. No, I believe we do. We as an individual always need the message of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's the gospel. That is what this book is written about. From Genesis 1:1 to the book of Revelation 21:22, I believe it is. That's what this book is all about. This book is not about me. It's not about you. It's all about Him. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Letters mean something. We can see right here in the verses where we read, we can see the word my in here 5 different times. My. 5 different times. And it's speaking of right there here, it says, I have no room where to bestow my fruit. Bestow my fruit. He was talking about, he said, this is my fruit. What is in the barn is mine. What is in the barn? No one blessed. No one went out there and plowed the field. No one went out there and gathered up the fruit. I'm the one that went and plowed the field. I'm the one went and gathered up the fruit. But he missed the whole point. He left out the sun, the S-U-N, the sunshine that would come down and come down and blaze the sunshine and the heat that brought forth the fruit, and where that fruit would bust forth from the ground. And then the Lord touched it each and every day. And He also
forgot about God for touching him and giving him the strength and the ability to be able to go out there and work the field and be able to harvest the fruit. He cared for no one else but himself. I don't see where in anything that I just read where he cared about anybody. The only thing he cared for was himself and what he had raised and what he had done. He was not a grateful individual towards God. He wasn't grateful to God for nothing. Not one time does he recognize God for his blessings. If we don't watch it, we can get caught up in the same thing today. God can bless us so much, and if we don't watch it, we won't even recognize where our blessings come from. Our blessings come from God. My strength comes from God. My food that my wife and my daughter prepare each and every day to where I can take that food and I can nourishment unto my body. And not only will it bring nourishment unto my body, but it will also bring strength to my body to where I can go out and work for him. He was not grateful to God for anything. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, "For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." Romans 2:4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing the goodness of God, leadeth thee to repentance. People today forgot about repentance. They done forgot about it. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Help me, Lord. Yes, we have a repentance in the things that we do wrong. But also we have a repentant heart when we come and accept him as our Lord and Savior. And what that word repentance means is that we turn from the way that we're going and we sidestep it and click our heels and turn all the way back around and go in a brand new direction. And the brand new direction is not left to the right. Not a brand new direction is that we turn all the way around facing who? Satan. Because the Bible teaches that where Jesus told Satan, says, "Get behind me, Satan. Get thou behind me." I've said that many times. Get thee behind me, Satan. And the reason I have to say it now is because I'm walking right towards Satan and his all of his obstacles that he has in the way. In the way. He made preparations to take care of the goods. He made preparations for it. He tore down his barns. Put barns he had. And he built greater barns. He was not satisfied with what he had. He wanted more. Are we ever satisfied in what we have? Have you all got to the point in your life, something else that we want? Oh, I'm the same way. I may want it, but God says, I don't need it. I don't need what you want. I need what you have to give. And what I have to give is my time, my loyalty unto Him. And my thankfulness to Him. And He said unto His disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than the remnant. Other words, what He's saying is with this body that He has given us means more than what we want. And it says right here, it says, you can look at this five or six different ways, but it says, the life is more than meat. Yeah, I'd love to go home and take your grill out and get the grill out and put a great big old ribeye steak on it. But that's not what He's asking for. He's not asking for the meat. He's not asking for what I have learned. He's asking for me to be grateful to Him for His blessings. For His blessings. And He's going to bless me. He done blessed me beyond all the blessings. Verse 18 and 19, and He said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, drink, eat, drink, and be merry. This right here was a farmer. He knew more about God really than what he really wanted to think about, really, I believe. Because he was the farmer. He knew something about hard work. He knew something about going out here and gathering up the field and being able to where he could plow the field and get the dirt and get the land in order to where he could be able to plant the vegetables or whatever he had to harvest. He knew about that. But he did not know God. He didn't know God. I don't see where, sit anywhere at all, he knew God. I did see in a whole of them verses about I, talking about himself. Then he was speaking about my, and what he had. It was all his. But it wasn't his. It was God's. God was just going to loan it to him. God was just providing it for him to where he could look after and take care of it. And we have to be, we as individuals, we as God's children, we have to be good stewards of what he's given us to look after. He has to give us the ability to be able to come into God's house and just look around and say, bless you, Lord. Bless you. Because, see, the Lord did not have to put this church here. The Lord didn't have to do that. He did not have to take Brother Poovey and press it upon his heart to start a work here and call it Faith Baptist Church. The Lord, he didn't have to do that. But he knew that there were some people that they wanted to do something for God. They wanted something special to do for God. Are you doing anything for God instead of just coming and showing up? Are you? We must all remember God saved us for a reason. And the reason is not come and just pick out a pew and sit there and warm that pew. He saved us for a reason. I do not know what the reason is. And I do not know what he has in store for your life. I know what God has spoke to me about and what I must do for God. But are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you? You say, well, preacher, yes, I am. God's blessed me so much. He has blessed you. He has blessed me so much. But just think about this. And what God has asked us to do, we're doing that part. But can we go a little further than that and do something a little extra special for the Lord? And he will double that blessing. That's just like the way I look at the tithes and the offering. The tithes is his, saith the Lord. The offering is a sacrifice. It's something that where we have to dig down a little deep and says,
and the devil's over here saying, you just can't eat. You just can't do that. You know, this week you got a bill coming up towards the end of the week that you can't do it. You just got to keep that money. You can't do it. Have you ever thought about the reason maybe we don't have the little extra expenditure where we can go and pay that extra bill that we have coming up? We haven't trusted God. We haven't trusted God. I said, God, I'll give it back to you.
I'll give it back to him. I'll give him back all of it if he really wants it. If he really needs it, I'll give it to him. All of it. Because I know I'm saved. I'm on the way to heaven. So if something happens to my health and I have to go to the hospital, and then they say, well, he's got cancer, or he's had a heart attack and everything, and it don't look like he's going to make it. Hey, I'm a winner. It don't make no difference. I'm a winner. I'm a winner if I leave, because I'm going home. I'm going to meet my Savior. If he leaves me here, I'm also a winner. Why? Because he hasn't got through with me yet. But he's got something else like that special for me to do. Everything that we do for the Lord is something special. Something special. And what God calls us, in the book of Titus, I believe it is, and it's another verse. It ain't mentioned but a couple, two or three times in the Bible. The word peculiar. When that word is mentioned in the Bible, and we can go look it up, anywhere we want to look it up, it always focuses back to what God calls us. That we are his treasure chest. That he's then put us in a little treasure chest, a little box, to where nobody can get to us, where Satan cannot come in and rob and steal what he wants to. I'm a treasure. I'm something special. Have you ever thought about that you are something special? Have you? I've never thought myself as being someone special. In the eyes of man, I'm not. But in the eyes of the Lord, he says, I'm special. Everyone stand. Head bowed and eyes closed. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this morning. And, Father, we just pray, Lord Jesus, that you just be with the people, Father, now. Lord, Father, we ask now that, well, you have spoken to their heart, Father, that if they need to come to the altar for any reason, whatever, just to come and pray for somebody else, Lord, I pray, Father, they'll come. And Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for saving grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.